Well, one particular question here is, after brewing worm tea, I have lots of rods which appear to have two segments which they move, sorry for reading it, I'm reading word for word, which I move sideways to propel themselves through the liquid. Not sure what they are. Is that of any significance, that particular question, Gerhard? I think you're more into... Dave, you don't mind me directing these questions to Gerhard, do you?
That's fine.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, Dave already answered that one before because I asked the question of Dave while you weren't there. And basically, to paraphrase, Dave, and please step in if I'm not doing it justice from your perspective, Dave, but organisms that are propelling themselves through the tea liquid are in fact rod type bacteria, and yeah, they're very, very active, and I see them more in worm cast materials as well. It's quite interesting to see there's quite a difference in the two types of compost, the vermicompost and the thermocompost. So yeah, they're very prolific in there, and there's a few other sets of organisms that seem to be specific to those. That's not to say you don't get the rod type bacteria in a thermal compost as well, but just another seem to be up there. They are bacteria, one of many, many species that you'll see under the microscope. And the more activity there is, the better it is, because you know that they're actually out there motoring away, contributing to the soil food web being functioning and adding to the fertility of the soil at the time, and they will be able to continue doing that once they hit the soil or even the foliage of the plant. Over.
Okay. Now, David, are you happy with that answer? Because it is apparently more related to vermicompost tea.
Yes, no, that's fine. In my first answer, I also pointed out that whilst the living organisms in the tea are probably the most important aspect of the tea, there are other things like, for instance, dead organisms. The bacteria on average has a lifespan of about 20 minutes. So if you brew your tea for 24 hours, as well as having a lot of live microorganisms, you're going to have a lot of dead ones as well. And they are a source of nitrogen within themselves. And then we also have the plant growth hormones like auxins, gibberellins, cytokinins, and IAAs as other forms, which we don't know a lot about, but what we do know that whenever those things are present, we get a greater response from the plant. So worm tea is not just about microorganisms. There are other things there as well, and there would be within your tea a certain amount of humic and fulvic acid as well. So there's a lot of things that go into a compost tea that are beneficial for the plant. So whilst we would like to have maximum levels of everything, I don't think we actually know what the maximums are, you don't have to have everything there to still get a good response. So people, I think you can get, I advise people not to get too hung up about trying to make the perfect tea. I don't believe at this stage it's probably ever been made, and we may be a long way away from it. But any sort of compost tea that is reasonably well made is well worth the effort. Over.
Can I add to that too, that
sure.
The perfect tea, it would have to be specific to the soil type and to the crop as well. And so there is not going to be one perfect tea that's going to fit all situations, and it's important that we recognise that each crop will have particular requirements, and the soils will determine also what would be more perfect for it than if it was a different type of soil.
Now, there's another question here is, old worm tea, which has been sitting in a container for some time, becomes very smelly as it becomes anaerobic. But under the microscope, we have hundreds of protozoa. Why is this a bad thing? When they are responsible for eating the bacteria and releasing nutrients? So who wants to answer that one?
That's a bit up my alley. Yep. I've had plenty of experience with this with people just in selling small quantities to people at farmers markets and having them come back and tell me that they left it sitting, sometimes even out in the sun for a couple of weeks, and when they lifted the lid, it was had quite an offensive odour, which is a good example of it gone anaerobic. However, they've used it anyway and still got a response from the plant. So I'm now confident when I speak to my customers that whilst it is ideal to use it fresh and within the first 24 to 48 hours, to date we've not had any adverse effect from using it once it has basically gone stale. And I can only put that down to the fact of the other issues in it, and that a lot of the dangerous, I mean, we're starting to learn that not all anaerobic bacteria is harmful. There are a lot that are, but not all of them are. So it may well be that the harmful ones have already been taken out in the early days of the tea, and the anaerobic ones that are now starting to become predominant are not as dangerous as we might think. Now, that's coming from a layman's point of view, and Elaine and Gerhard might want to challenge that, but that's where I'm at in my thinking. Over.
In fact, if anything, that we'd agree with you on that, because the work that's been done, and Elaine makes a point of that, on particularly if you can recall that she talks about the agar plate of pathogens that they've put together, and they've allowed a worm to go through there, and anywhere where the worm has actually contacted the pathogenic microbes, they've been killed off. They've been able to do that. So you're quite right. There's some extra quality that the worms offer to a vermicast or a worm tea that you'd never get with the thermal composting process.
But I think one thing, Gerhard, that we would want to make clear to farmers is that what Dr. Elaine Ingham says, that she wouldn't have anyone using a smelly compost tea because you know, you can get into trouble with them. So I think that is something you would avoid. Having its compost tea that is smelly. In other words, not exactly acceptable thing. That's how I would see it. You've been working with Dr. Elaine Ingham more, so how would you see her views on smelly compost tea? Not talking about compost tea, we're talking about compost tea now.
Yeah, compost tea. Let's make that distinction. Actively aerated compost tea. If that turned out to be smelly, then there's a problem with your composter, or there might be biofilms that have been forming inside the vessel or the plumbing that then precipitates a whole range of anaerobes taking over the brewing process. Anything that smells on the nose, whether it's a soil or a tea or any food, is telling you that the conditions are not agreeable, and therefore proceed with caution.
I've got another question here.
Before we get onto that, I just want to reinforce that if it's just compost tea, I would be very wary of using it if it's smelly, but it does seem that the worms are able to neutralise that danger to a great extent. But in terms of getting the best compost tea, from my point of view, thermophilically composting the material and then adding the worms, allowing the worms to eat that or process that, is close to the ideal situation. But just like, you know, we would all like to drive a Rolls Royce, whether we have the money or the time to do it, it's another thing. So people have to make their own choice as to how much effort they want to put in. But once again, it is confusing when we're talking about vermicompost and compost. And as Gerhard said in his early introduction, there are pros and cons for both. One of the cons against vermicompost, if it hasn't been thermophilically processed, is that you've still got the risk of having considerable weed seeds in it. So there's pros and cons for both. And if you can combine the two of them, then you're getting close to the ideal setup, Over.
Yeah.